taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
The recent shootings, mass shootings, including the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and the shooting at the grocery store in Buffalo, well, they've brought the push for gun control front and center once again. But as with so many other things, time should also give us perspective. With that, I think it's time we set aside the hyperbole, the rhetoric, the unreasonable expectations, and have a calm, a rational, a reasonable discussion about guns, shootings, school safety, and safety in general. I mean, after all, when we consider gun violence, which is more important, the gun or the violence? Hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. You've joined me here at the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. And today, I want to have, again, a calm, rational, reasonable discussion, not simply about guns and violence, but about what we should do, especially around schools, to help prevent these types of things from happening in the future. Now, to understand and to make a proper decision of what to do in the future, we do need to consider what's happened in the past. Now, there's been a lot of stories and a lot of information. It's one of the reasons why I've been rather slow in jumping on certain bandwagons because, well, information seems to change over time. As new information comes out, we are learning more and more about what's been going on. Probably one of the most interesting and, in my mind, disturbing aspects has been the delayed response from law enforcement to an active shooter in a school. There's a lot going on there, but there's one story here that I want you to hear about. See, by now, you've probably heard that it was a U.S. Border Patrol agent that actually went in the school to confront the shooter. What was interesting is, he was not on duty. He wasn't called to the scene by law enforcement. He wasn't responding to a call for help except from his wife. See, his wife is a fourth grade teacher at Robb Elementary School. She texted her husband. She said, "There's an active shooter. Help. I love you." Now, as a husband and a father, I can't, you know, my reactions to a text like that, I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly how I would respond. I know better than to make assumptions about stressful situations like that. But what did this man do? He ran to the scene. He ran to save his wife and daughter. Now, during an interview on the Today Show, he asked what he saw outside the school. He said, "Chaos. Everyone was trying to get to the school. People were trying to get everything situated." He says, "I was just trying to get toward my wife's room and my daughter's room." Now, what's interesting is local law enforcement officials allowed him to enter. Because remember, there were reports that they did not allow others to enter. But he, because he wore a uniform and a badge, at least I'm assuming he was wearing it at the time, he was allowed in. He was armed with a shotgun that actually belonged to his barber. And he described the police breaking out the windows and trying to get the kids out through the windows. And he's coming in. He's trying to help the kids out. Now, he doesn't agree that with the criticism, or at least all the criticism of local law enforcement. But I want you to notice something very, very important. This man's wife was in the school. And she asked for help. Now, she asked for help from her husband. But what was she really looking for? She was looking for a good guy with a gun. Paul, good guys with guns don't save the day. They do all the time. Depending on which study you look at, between 500,000 and 3 million times a year, a good guy with a gun stops criminal activity. It doesn't always result in gunfire. It doesn't always result in people dying. But between 500,000 and 3 million times a year, guns are used to save lives. That's exactly what they needed here. They needed someone with a gun to save a life. Now, schools, there's always an interesting debate around schools. Do we have retired law enforcement? Plain clothes? Do we have retired military? Do we arm teachers? Do we allow teachers to be armed? And there's always this discussion of, we don't want to turn schools into armed camps. Well, granted, the vast majority of schools will never suffer anything like what happened in Uvalde, Texas. But I have to ask, with the dangers so high, with while the risk may be low, the consequences being so high, isn't it worth taking some measures? And like any other environment, why do we ignore the basic concept of defense in depth? Now, just so you know, I've been around guns all my life. I've taken self-defense training with firearms. I've done some research to try and understand how to defend my home. And when I think of a school or any large building like that, I think of defense in depth. I was asked to head up our security team at my local church. Same thing. Defense in depth. Why? Because humans are flawed. We've all heard about the, the teacher left the door open and that's how he got in. Well, apparently that's not the case. The teacher didn't leave the door open. The door failed to lock. Okay. But that's a perfect example. If your entire defense is based on a perimeter, any flaw in that design breaches that perimeter and allows bad guys in. No, I want defense in depth, which means I want multiple solutions. I don't want this or that. I want this and that. Whether it's, again, a secure perimeter, automatic locking doors, limited number of entry points with lots of exit points. I've even heard people talk about man traps where, you have to go through two doors and one door must be shut before the outer door must shut before the inner door opens type scenario. But even little things like each classroom should not only have a deadbolt lock, there should be a door jam, a door stop, a triangular piece of wood jammed under the door frame helps keep the door from being opened. I don't have a problem with teachers being armed if they qualify to be armed. I don't even have a problem for the school district to say, we have a class we want you to take, we have training we want you to take, because you're dealing with a situation that probably isn't covered in most gun safety training classes, dealing with children and trying to keep the children calm, the children under control. That is not the job of the teacher to go all Rambo and go find the shooter. The job of the teacher is to stay back and defend the students in their class. How do you do that best? How do you approach your door? How do you approach your windows? How do you do that? I have no problem with that because that gives me layers. If the outer perimeter gets breached, intentionally or unintentionally, do I have security officers in the building that are able to deal with that threat? Either stop it or at least can slow it down. Can we lock down? Can we have multiple people that can lock down, initiate a lockdown of the school where the teachers know doors locked, door jammed, the door stop put in place, students put in the safest spot in the classroom, teacher in a position where they can cover entries and not endanger the children should shooting happen? Those types of things. I am all for those. Because there's a child. There's video of a child claiming they got shot and pleading for help. And I don't know, that to me is bone chilling. I want to deal with some of the other things that are coming along as well, but I want us to stop and think. to learn from this situation. It was Einstein that said one of the signs of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Yet I still see people, the response to every mass shooting, every shooting in a school, is to punish the innocent. And to prevent what I seem to be reasonable protections in the school. I remember after, I think it was after the Sandy Hook shooting, although I'm not sure. There was a plan in Staten Island, which is one of the boroughs in New York City, if you're not aware of that. They wanted to put retired NYPD officers in plain clothes in the school. Men and women who had retired, who were law enforcement, who had been trained as law enforcement, they wanted them plain clothes, concealed carry in the schools so that they didn't look like police officers, so they wouldn't intimidate the children, but they would be there. They'd be familiar with the school. They would be that next line of defense should something happen. And parents went nuts. There was a group of parents that at the school board meeting just, what do you mean you want to bring guns into school? Well, if we don't bring guns into school, then the openly people with guns in school are the ones trying to hurt your kids. You trusted these men and women with arms when they were law enforcement. Why don't you trust them now? Why are you more worried about them possibly accidentally shooting a child than the criminal that is intentionally shooting a child? I know it's an emotional situation, and we tend to have emotional reactions. And what I'm trying to do is take a little bit of time and a little calm and say, what can we learn? What can we do? And for you parents, and you teachers, and you administrators, and those of you on the school board, don't wait for your state or the federal government to come up with an answer. Figure it out for yourself. We called them public schools because they were there to serve the public. What will you do to help? What will you do to volunteer to help? What will you do to help set up these plans? Do you have some experience? Can you help develop some of these things? Can you find out what works best for your school? Because the politicians in Washington, as much as they protest otherwise, are more interested in their political agenda than in the actual safety of your child. The politicians in your state house are more interested in votes than in safety. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but in general, that's how things work. But if you're going to sit back and wait for someone else to do something to protect the life of your child, what does that say about you? See, that's the part I think we lose, is we have turned over our right of self-defense. We've turned over our own safety to the hands of others. And when they fail, either intentionally or unintentionally, we are not prepared to pick up the slack. We said, no, it's your job to do it. I shouldn't be responsible for taking care of myself. I shouldn't be responsible for taking care of my children. That's what we have police for. But what happens when the police don't show? What happens when the police are far away? What happens during that time between the time evil shows up and police show up? And for everyone who says that good guys with the guns aren't the solution, every one of these shootings, every one of them, not only ended when a good guy with a gun showed up, but the people are asking you to wait for a good guy with a gun to show up. Because if they're saying you need to wait for law enforcement, you're saying, oh, I need to wait for good guys with guns to come save me. That puts you in a servant position, doesn't it? So whether you have children in school or you live in a county that has a school, let's see if we can figure out for ourselves what is the best way to defend the children in our community, the neighbors in our community, friends, family, neighbors. Let's figure out how we can do that ourselves. Let's be free people that understands that evil exists. And the same reason you have fire insurance and a fire extinguisher in your house, the same reason you have automobile insurance and life insurance. Let's pray for the best, but let's also prepare for the worst. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, I want to talk to you a bit about Healthy Cell. See, I don't know about you, but when I travel, I have a hard time getting to sleep. My wife, as long as we've been married, she's had times where she has difficulty falling asleep. We love to use Healthy Cell's REM sleep. Helps us fall asleep and stay asleep so that we can wake up refreshed and ready to go. It is not a drug. It's a dietary supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep, and it comes in a simple-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. You can either take the gel directly or mix it in a drink, and it helps you fall asleep. That's one of many products from Healthy Cell. You can find them all at HealthyCell.com. But when you check out, please use the code OUTLOUD. There's a couple reasons. First, they'll give you 20% off your first order. But it also tells them that you listen to America Out Loud. So whether you try the REM Sleep or any of their products, just go to HealthyCell.com and use that code OUTLOUD at checkout to let them know you listen to America Out Loud, and they'll give you 20% off that first order. Also, if you would please, go to constitutionstudy.com. See all the work that we're doing here at the Constitution Study. Maybe you can help us. Maybe you can share some of the articles, the videos. Maybe you can support me financially with a donation. But help others find the truth and liberty exists. Help others read and study the Constitution and teach the rising generation to be free.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're dealing with the sad fact of, well, gun violence, school shootings, and what we can do. We want to have a rational, calm discussion about it. You know, pretty much any time there's a notable shooting, I pretty much know before the bodies are cold, there will be those out trying to take away your right to keep and bear arms. They're talking about controlling the gun. They never seem to worry about the violence. They always seem to be focused on the gun. And they always seem to be willing to punish or actively punishing the innocent person rather than the guilty. There was a politician and lawyer early in the 19th century by the name of George Tucker. He said, the right of self-defense is the first law of nature. In most governments, it's been the study of rulers to confine this right within the narrowest possible limits. And when the right of the people to keep and bear arms is, under any color or pretext whatsoever, prohibited, liberty, if not already annihilated, is on the brink of destruction. See, when you are denied the tools that can best be used to defend yourself, that right of self-defense, liberty is either gone or dying. So I'm not surprised when I see people use these events for the political grandstanding, either pro-gun or anti-gun. I see it on both sides. But what I tend to see most are people using these opportunities to, well, as George Tucker put it, limit the right of the people to keep and bear arms, using whatever pretext they can. Well, for example, President Biden recently visited Uvalde, Texas, after 19 children and 2 adults died in the school shooting. But nothing seems to be said of the tens and dozens of people killed every year in violent crime through many of our nation's cities. Gang violence and other violent crime in our largest cities runs rampant. Even over the Memorial Day weekend, there were dozens of lives of Americans that were lost. None of them involved an AR-15, but still, politicians are coming after this scary black gun. You have former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill calling for families to release autopsy photos of the children killed from Uvalde. Funny, I don't remember her asking for autopsy photos for the children killed in Baltimore, Chicago, New York, in Los Angeles, and other large cities that didn't involve some event that was in the news. You see Democrats in both the House and the Senate grandstanding for new gun control laws, but doing nothing to actually secure our schools from not just guns, but bombs, knives, cars, and other forms of violence. The House Judiciary Committee held a vote on a gun control package, which included 6 measures that would have done absolutely nothing to prevent the Uvalde attack. That's political grandstanding. That's using the bodies of dead children to advance a political agenda. I find that reprehensible. I find that disgusting. And if anyone, if a representative of mine, if a senator of mine were to use such a terrible situation, a terrible act, to not only promote the infringement of the rights of innocent people, but to advance laws that would have done nothing if they were in place to stop the shooting, to stop that particular shooting, well then, I just find that a repugnant person. I could not support them. I could not have them as an employee that I would support. Now, Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler said, well, it might have saved those children in Uvalde, providing absolutely no evidence of the case. Oh, this would have outlawed semi-automatic centerfire rifles and semi-automatic centerfire shotguns, at least if they have capacity for 5 rounds or more. Kind of fearing the fact that all that means you need to do is change the magazine more often, which with just a little bit of training only takes a couple of seconds. They also would have banned ghost guns, except a ghost gun wasn't used in Uvalde, Texas. A gun that was legally purchased with a background check. See, that doesn't matter. Children died, so the politicians will grandstand to get their point across. A representative, I think it's Cicilline, stated that the Supreme Court has ruled time and time again that the Second Amendment isn't absolute. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court works for the Constitution, not the other way around. The Supreme Court does not define what the Constitution says. Representative Mondaire Jones said, the epidemic of gun violence is not unstoppable. I agree. He said, it is a choice you could make differently at any time, a choice between our lives and your guns. There I disagree, because it is the guns that save lives. See, we're looking at 19 children that were dead, and they're using it to take away guns, forgetting the fact that, as I said, even the CDC admits that at least 500,000 times a year, a gun is used to save a life, to stop a crime. Which means if you take away these guns, you're not only not stopping the criminals, because the criminals aren't going to follow the law when it comes to these guns, but you're endangering innocent people, because they will not have the tools to protect themselves from the criminal. I know that this is an emotional reaction. I know that we want to do something. But if you're looking at a fire and you want to put it out, you better make sure you're reaching for that bucket of water, not the can of gasoline. For example, Nancy Pelosi, she wants to put forth legislation prohibiting, quote unquote, assault weapons. Now, you have to understand that there is no legal definition of an assault weapon. In the military, you have a definition for an assault rifle. Now, an assault rifle is defined, if I'm pretty sure I got this right, as a select fire or fully automatic firearm, meaning either by choice of a selector switch or by operation of a gun, you pull the trigger, it continues firing until you let go of the trigger or it runs out of ammunition. Except what they're talking about is not an assault weapon. An AR-15, which they always like to pick on, even the AK-47s that you buy, that the people are semi-automatic, means you pull the trigger once, it fires one round. You pull the trigger a second time, it fires a second round. It is not the stuff you see in the movies on TV of, you know, spraying and spraying, and that's not what it is. But why wouldn't we want, I mean, these are dangerous. They look scary. They have stocks on them, and they're collapsible stocks, and they have these little front grips, and they've got all these things that makes them more dangerous, more lethal, more deadly. Why wouldn't we want to stop those? These are, after all, weapons of war. Well, they're not weapons of war. During a recent Alex Wills report on MSNBC, one of the correspondents had a message for any American who wishes to purchase an AR-15. Join the military. Guess what, lady? If you join the military, they're not going to hand you an AR-15. They're going to hand you an M16 or an M4. Now, they may look a lot alike. An M16 does look an awful lot like an AR-15, but they operate very differently. You know, putting a red paint job and fancy wheels on your car doesn't make it a Ferrari. Well, the same thing with a gun. But I want to come back to that question. Why am I so adamant about the dangers of these gun control laws? Everyone focuses on, oh, it could stop one shooting. If all it does is stop one shooting, it'll be wonderful. Why do I focus so much on these? Well, take, for example, a story out of Lithia, Florida. And this is one of many stories that just don't seem to make the news all that often. See, there was a woman, And her husband and her 11-year-old daughter were home one night when, according to the husband, two men came into their house heavily hooded and masked. Now, both of the intruders were armed with pistols. Now, as soon as they got the back door open, they had a pistol on the husband and were grabbing the 11-year-old daughter. But you see, mom was around, a pregnant mother nonetheless. You see, she was in the back of the house. She looks into the room. She sees her husband being pistol whipped, being beaten by one of the two attackers. They see her and they shoot at her. Well, she retrieved her AR-15 and came back out shooting, killing at least one of the attackers. Now, this big, bad, scary AR-15 that all these people want to get rid of is what this woman used to defend herself, her husband, her 11-year-old daughter, and her unborn child. But you see, there are people that want to take this away from her. and from you. Do you know why the AR-15 is so popular as a home defense gun? Because it's light, it's easy to use, and it is not a large caliber firearm. I don't care what Joe Biden says. It's a .223, meaning the bullet's actually only a little bit larger than a squirrel gun. Yes, it's got more powder. Yes, it goes faster, but it's a small, lightweight round, specifically designed to not go through as many, you know, people or windows or walls as larger calibers, like 30 calibers. It's designed for this. Yes, it's a sporting rifle. It's a hunting rifle, but it's also an excellent self-defense weapon. Because it's easy to handle. Easier than a handgun in many situations. Doesn't take a lot of training. So if we're looking to secure our schools, we're looking to secure our homes, and we think gun control laws will save the day, well, the question is there any evidence of that? So if the AR-15 is so good being used in self-defense, but that's the gun you want to take away, if the semi-automatic handgun is a gun you want to take away, let's take a look at the situation in California. See, FBI has recently released a report on active shooter incidents in 2021. Now, here's what's interesting. The number one state for quote-unquote active shooter incidents is California. California has number one in one other situation. They have the most restrictive gun laws, at least according to Every Town for Gun Safety. So if the FBI said there were 61 active shooter incidents all across the country in 2021, six of them happened in California with the most strict and stringent gun control laws, you know, logic would say that gun control laws don't stop active shooter incidents. They don't stop mass shooting. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out why. If you are in the mental state, if you are a criminal or in the mental state where you're going to go take human life, being busted for an illegal gun is probably not high on your priority list. I can't imagine the Uvalde shooter walking in going, "Oh, you know, I'd love to come shoot up this school, but I'm not allowed to own an AR-15. And even if they did, maybe he would just turn around and, I don't know, pipe bomb, knives, cars. He could have just waited until school let out and just plowed through people. We've seen that before, haven't we? So that's why I say I want to have a logical, rational discussion about this. There's a reason why our founding fathers enshrined our right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment to the Constitution. They say it right in the amendment. A well-regulated militia. A militia is defined as an armed populace. Even in federal law, a militia is defined as an armed populace. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. If you want to live in a free state, you want an armed populace. The number of studies that show the relationship between the liberty of firearm ownership and the low crime rates correlates quite well. I'm not going to tell you that there's a direct causation, although there certainly is a very strong correlation. So if we want our schools to be safer, there should be good people with firearms in there, among other things used to protect our children. Things that don't have to be intrusive, that don't have to be scary. But we shouldn't take the firearm out of the loop. What's the saying? God made all men, but Sam Colt made them equal? Okay, I don't believe it's an accurate quote, but it makes the point. A firearm is a great equalizer. a 110-pound a woman, you know, with can defend herself against a 250-pound attacker if she's got a gun. A teacher in a classroom can defend their students if they're armed. And a school can defend themselves against an armed attacker if there are people, especially trained people, that have both the skills and the tools to defend themselves and others. The fact that so many people focus all of their attention on the gun and ignore the violence makes me wonder what their agenda is. If the same media that reports on the Uvalde shooting ad nauseum says little, if anything, about the shootings in Chicago or New York, if the same politicians that railed against your ability to own a firearm because, well, children could be killed, paid any lick of attention to the children that are killed every week in gun violence in other parts of our country. And if the same pundits that go crazy when a white police officer shoots a black woman who's in the process of attacking another black woman paid any attention to the black-on-black crime in many of our major cities, I might take them seriously. All I see are political grandstanding to make the people sheep, unable to defend themselves. Now, I have to take another break, but before I do, I want to remind you, you can listen to the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen on our media player or our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can find all the links at AmericaOutloud.com.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Surely, if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about, well, how do we protect ourselves? Our schools, our children, you know, we've seen so much. These recent shootings have been used to actually make it harder for us to protect ourselves because we've ignored a basic tenet, a basic concept of freedom and liberty. One of our founding fathers, James Wilson, said, "Every man's house is his castle, and if anyone be robbed in it, it shall be esteemed his own default and negligence." See, the idea that it's the duty of the police to protect us is a fallacy. It's not what our founding fathers believed. In fact, they believed quite the opposite. It was your responsibility to defend yourself. And it was your responsibility to defend your house and your family. Yet today we see so many people trying to take away the tools to do that. Well, for example, in a recent press release, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre? Sorry, I was mispronouncing it. Said that Joe Biden doesn't support a ban on all handguns. Well, that's nice of him. How about the law that says you cannot be deprived of, you have a right to keep and bear arms, and that it shall not be infringed? I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not the Supreme Court. But you see, Joe Biden does support a ban on the sale of assault weapons and quote-unquote high-capacity magazines. Well, as I've already said, assault weapons are a made-up scary term, just like ghost gun. And what they refer to as high-capacity magazines are, well, standard capacity on most of these guns. Now, I wouldn't be for even a high-capacity magazine ban. Listen, you want to put 100 rounds through your AR-15? You want to put 50 rounds through a Glock? Be my guest. As long as you're not using it to hurt somebody, be my guest. Of course, you also want to expand background checks. But here's what's interesting. The shooter in Uvalde went through a background check to purchase his legally owned firearms. So these don't work. All they do is make it harder for law-abiding citizens to exercise a right protected by the Constitution of the United States. And since, according to our Constitution, a power not delegated to the United States, a law contradictory to the Constitution, is void, again, Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court, any action that would infringe on your right to keep and bear arms, any arms. It didn't say to keep and bear muskets. It didn't say you couldn't own, by the way, the Second Amendment did not prohibit you from owning a cannon. In fact, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution says that Congress could basically empower privateer navies by issuing letters of marque and reprisal. And oh, by the way, what did they have on those privateer navies in order to fulfill those letters? Cannons. See, there's so much misinformation out there that I want to correct it with proper information. Now, here's an interesting point. You see, once again, in a press conference after the Uvalde shooting, the press secretary, Jean-Pierre, said, I know there's been conversation about hardening schools. That is not something he, being the president, believes in. He believes that we should be able to give teachers the resources to be able to do the job that they were meant to do at schools. Oh, so you don't believe in hardening schools. You just want to take away everyone's right to own guns that you don't like. That's what President Biden's position is, at least according to his press secretary. Let's not make schools safer. Let's leave schools wide open so that criminals and crazy people and just anybody that wants to can, what, walk in and start shooting people? Let's not give the schools, the teachers, the resource officers, the administrators, the ability to defend themselves against such attack. We'll just stand by and have another suite of useless, illegal gun control laws because we don't want to actually make the schools safer. We want them to be soft targets. Now listen, I would love to say we lived in a perfect world where nothing bad was ever going to happen in school, and teachers could focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, they don't focus on that now. But I would wish we could have teachers that are focused on teaching. And there'd be zero possibility of danger. But that world doesn't exist. And to be more interested, this proves to me that President Biden is not interested in keeping your children safe. All he wants to do is take away your guns. And he's more than willing to use the murder of 18 children to do that. Now, Biden is also after the big, scary 9mm round, the 9mm guns. Oh, my God. Another perfect example of better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and be proved an idiot. Now, he claims a doctor, back when he was a senator, told him that, well, you know, a .22 caliber bullet tends to lodge in someone's lung and you can save them, but a 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body. First of all, Biden has lied so often, I doubt that this even happened. But let's say it did. Then the doctor's an idiot. Because the 9mm round is not powerful enough to, quote unquote, blow the lung out of a body. In fact, if you think about it, about the only gun I could think that the guns tend not to blow parts out of the body like that. Now, in fact, I have shot 9mm rounds. I've shot 22 rounds. I've shot 30 caliber rounds. I've shot 50 caliber rounds. And here's the interesting thing. You know what you don't see hunters using? You don't see a lot of hunters using a 9mm round. Do you know why? They don't, not, it's because they don't blow the lungs out of bodies. Now, he is correct. A .22 caliber is more likely to lodge in a body. It's a small, very small. If you find, go on the web, find a picture to scale of a .22 caliber long rifle, which is generally what they're talking about, and a 9mm gun round, which is a handgun round. And you'll find that, okay, they're bigger. But compare that to, say, a .223 or a .30-06 or a .308. It's insane. But let's stop and just think about this for a second. Again, if I am using a weapon to defend myself, my purpose in firing the weapon is to stop the threat. If I have an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury, my goal is to stop the threat. If that involves killing the other person, okay, they started it. Why? Why in heaven's name would I want to use a round that does not stop the threat and hope that they could go to the hospital and get that taken care of? I want to stop the threat. By the way, that's the same for the people who get all upset about hollow point ammunition. The purpose of hollow point ammunition is twofold. One, it stays in the body, meaning it's less likely to come out of the body and hurt somebody else. And two, it does damage because the person I am shooting at is an imminent threat. I want that threat stopped as quickly as possible. But you see, that's not the mindset. Oh, you should not be able to stop that threat using a 9mm round. You should have to sit there and shoot him, what, 10, 15, 20, 30 times with a .22 to try and get him to stop, all the while he's advancing and possibly firing on you? That's the ludicrousness of what is being dealt with. And of course, under Biden, again, here we are, you have the ATF telling a firearm supplier, JSD Supply, to stop selling what they refer to as ghost guns. You know, the kits to build your gun at home, which under federal law does not require a serial number. That's federal law. The ATF has no authority to tell JSD to simply stop selling its products. That is a deprivation of property without due process of law. But you see, we don't live under the rule of law at the moment. We allow people who have no clue what they're talking about, who lie and cheat and steal, to tell us what we can and cannot do. Oh, here's another one. I forgot this one. I love this one. NPR, the other day, made a claim that an AR-15 rifle is capable of beheading someone. Anyone who is at all familiar with firearms knows that a .223, also known as a .556, they're almost exactly the same round, the NATO round, the same basic round that our troops use in the military, does not behead people. That's right, it does not. It'll go into the head. It may kill you from that. It does not behead people. It is not a weapon built for war. In fact, the 5.56 round was designed by the military. The military used to use 30 caliber ammunition. They designed the 223 and 5.56. These are, again, almost identical rounds for two reasons. One, they're smaller, meaning you can put more of them. They're smaller and lighter. You can put more of them in a soldier's kit without having them carry extra weight. Second, they're less likely to immediately kill somebody. See, from a military standpoint, you'd rather wound somebody than kill somebody. So this Peter Ree, this trauma surgeon from Arizona, saying that a 223 round, a 5.56 round, goes off like a grenade in the head, is full of something. I'm sorry. Even hollow point, maybe if you're talking hollow point 223 ammunition, it's not going to blow the head off. It may look a large hole coming out the other side, but that's not a beheading. But again, if someone is an imminent threat, is to the life or serious bodily harm of an innocent person, don't you want that person stopped? Why are these people more worried about the criminal attacking than about the citizen protecting themselves? Because in their mind, you don't have the right to defend yourself. You need to be dependent on government to defend you. And another reason why I don't live in New York anymore, they're stupid laws. You see, back in 2021, then Governor Cuomo signed a law that said people could sue gun makers, distributors, and retailers for the illegal use of a legal product by a third party. So now we have a lawsuit filed on behalf of Aline Stewart claiming that Glock's marketing and business practices endanger the public health and safety by marketing and selling their firearms with reckless disregard for human life and for the peace, tranquility, and economic well-being of the public. For selling firearms that are absolutely legal, even in the state of New York, even in the city of New York. A legal product used multiple times a day in defense. See, a lot of the police officers, a lot of NYPD carry Glocks. See, this is the hoplophobia. This is the irrational fear of guns. Did Glock make a gun? Yes. Did they manufacture it? Did they market it misleadingly? No. Did they sell it for the purpose of endangering the public health and safety? No. Somebody took a legal product and used it for illegal means. But you see, that would be rational. We're not dealing with people that are in a rational state of mind. Because I wonder if Ms. Stewart there would be willing to sue the manufacturer of the car that was used to mow down a group of elderly people a couple months ago. Would you sue the car manufacturer for every time a drunk driver kills someone? Well, their marketing apparently had a complete disregard for public safety because they could be used dangerously. It's not rational. And oh, by the way, this does absolutely nothing to protect the lives of citizens. So you sue Glock. What happens? First of all, okay, maybe Glock pays a fine. Maybe they pay damages. I mean, there's already been a federal judge dumb enough to uphold this law. You know, why wouldn't you have a judge say, yep, okay, you know, we're going to award the person, you know, $20 million or whatever. All that means is Glock is less likely to sell their products in New York. Doesn't stop people from bringing them in from other states. Doesn't stop people from acquiring Glocks that are already there. Doesn't stop people from stealing them and bringing them into the city. Does absolutely nothing to save a single person. This is a political grandstand because they don't like guns. And they figure if since they don't like guns, you shouldn't have guns. I guess that also includes the police. Because they're saying the Glock are going to get sued. What about Smith & Wesson? What about Colt? What about any gun manufacturer? What are your police officers going to use to defend your life, Ms. Stewart, if you go through with this and gun manufacturers refuse to allow their firearms, to sell their firearms in New York State? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do if you get your way and gun manufacturers can no longer manufacture guns? But all the criminals still have guns. What are you going to do then? See, if we want to save people's lives, if we are more concerned with the violence than with the gun, we can find reasonable ways to help protect ourselves. But if all we're going to do is focus on the gun, we're actually going to make ourselves less safe. And that's not a country I want to live in. Before I go, though, please make America Out Loud your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. Find all the articles, the stories, the podcasts, the videos. Share them with friends, with family, on social media. Help others find the truth. Help others to secure the blessings of liberty for themselves and others. And join me as I go through the Blessings of Liberty tour. Go to constitutionstudy.com/tour to find out more. Find out about the tour. Find out where I'm going to be. Better yet, fill out the form. Have me come to speak at your event or to speak at your group so that we can all enjoy the blessings of liberty and tell the people that are taking those blessings away to go pound sand.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.